Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alverton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your seat, grab your copy of God's word, and go with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. What a fitting song to end on there as we talk about using the breath in our lungs to praise God. And as we keep in mind as we go into this message, remember what Romans 12 says. Romans 12 says that we don't just praise God with our voices, we praise God with our lives. So as we pour out our lives, as we pour out our praise through our works, through our service, I pray that you would see that God is pleased in that. We're now in the third week of a series that we're calling Next Steps, where we're rolling out this fresh, unique vision for Eastwood that God has given your pastors, your lay leaders. If you missed message one or message two, I encourage you to go back. You don't want to miss this, okay? We want everyone to be on the same page as we roll this new stuff out. But let me say this, if you were here even, it would be good for you to go back and listen to it again, that you could get the language and to just refresh yourself and make sure you get it deep down into your heart and into your mind, what we're talking about, what we see in you and what we're calling out of you. What we're going to go through here, this series is basically being developed into a class that Eastwood's going to offer to new folks every month. The class is going to be called Next Steps, and so one month it's going to be offered here at this campus, and then the next month it's going to be offered at the East Campus. And going forward, like I said last week, this is going to be a requirement for membership. In other words, it's going to be our membership process. And the goal of it is simple. We want to rapidly connect you, all right, to God, to this church, and to ministry. We want to plug you in to serving. And so just a quick recap, okay? Make sure we're all on the same page. 2 weeks ago, we rolled out to you Eastwood's new, unique mission statement. And here it is. Eastwood now exists to develop relationships, to impact people with biblical answers to life's challenges. As I've explained it all along, I like to start at the end and work my way to the front of that, okay? People have problems, the Bible has answers, and the best way to get those answers to people's problems is through relationships. Christians speaking one-on-one with people, sharing with people, people that you know that they might listen to you. So that is our new mission. Because that is our mission, we now value four things that we have focused in on here at Eastwood. Four things. The first, we value the power of God's word. We believe that's where life transformation comes from. We secondly value the pursuit of life transformation, right? If a person's going to be changed, we need to pursue that, grow in Christ, become more like Jesus. Third, we value the passion of missional living. Not necessarily going on mission trips, that's part of missional living. But missional living is 24/7, wherever you're at, wherever you are, taking Jesus with you. And then fourth, we value the priority of authentic relationships. We want to be real with one another. We want to know one another and love one another. And to help us fulfill that mission, to build up these values, we've shared with you Eastwood's strategy. It's our ministry map, if you will, and you can see it here in this diagram here. It kind of helps you to see a visual of it. It's three phases, basically, or four, really, I suppose. It's gather in worship, grow in small groups, go in service. And you can see in the middle there, the connection there is discover in next steps. So wherever a person comes in, whether they get connected with us through serving, or they get connected first into grow groups, small groups, or they get connected in gathering in worship right here like we're doing now, we're going to encourage people to go to that Next Steps class to try to get connected, to get the culture in them to understand who we are, who Christ is, and how they can serve. All right, so this morning, we're going to focus in on the go part of our strategy. So the title of this morning's message is Go in Service. Go in Service. One day, a man named Jack was walking along a cliff. It was a really steep cliff, and he accidentally got too close to the edge, which I would never do because Ben Simpson ain't getting near an edge of a cliff anywhere, okay? All right? But he got too close and he fell over the edge. But on the way down, there was a branch and he reached out and he grabbed that branch, which stopped his fall. He held there, but he knew he couldn't stand there for long. He couldn't hold on to that branch for long. He couldn't hold there for long. And he looked down and below him was like a 1,000-foot drop, man. It was a huge drop all the way down. So he began yelling for help. Help! Help!
Is there anybody up there? Help!
Well, he did this for a long time and nobody heard him. No one threw a rope down to him or anything. And so he's about to give up when he heard a voice. Jack, Jack, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm down here.
Yes, I can see you, Jack. Are you all right?
Yes, but who are you and where are you?
I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere.
The Lord, you mean God?
Yes, Jack, that's me.
God, please help me. I promise. I'll do anything, God.
Easy on those promises, Jack, God said back. Let's get you off this cliff first, and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen very carefully.
Oh, I'll do anything, Lord. Just say it. I'll do it.
Okay, Jack, let go of the branch.
And so Jack
kind of got a startled look on his face. He looked up. He looked down. He looked up again. He looked down. And then after a long pause, he said,
help! Help! Is there anybody else up there?
There was no way he was going to let go of that branch. Now listen, guys. Sometimes following God means letting go. Sometimes following God means letting go. But it can be scary. When you let go, it can be scary. And as I look at our strategy map, as we pull that back up there, the strategy map, gather, grow, and go. Listen, it's easy for you and me to gather right here and worship. Man, that's easy. You are getting served, right? It's easy, secondly, to grow in small groups. Again, what are you being? You are being served. But when we go to that third phase, that third part of our strategy map there, the go part of our strategy, that can be a little bit scary. Because when you go to that part, you're no longer being served, but you serve others. And that can be a little bit scary. It can feel like God is asking you to let go of that branch while you dangle over a cliff. And all these excuses jump into your mind. You ever had God ask you to let go and trust him? And you come up with all these excuses when it's about service. Oh, God, I don't know enough. God, I'm not good enough. God, I'm not social enough. God, I'm not skilled enough. I don't have what it takes, God. Find somebody else to do this. It can be scary, but it doesn't have to be scary. Through today's message, I hope that you come to realize that God has given you everything you need to go in service. And then I pray that you would let go of whatever excuses you were holding on to, and that you would fall in to joyful service with the Lord. I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. Only two verses this morning to start us off. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12. God's Word says this, and Jesus, that's the he there, and Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Let's pray. God, as this body is gathered today, God, would you speak to us? And I don't know what branch we're holding on to as we dangle over the cliff, so to speak. Whatever excuse it is, God, I pray that today we would let go of it and fall into your good and perfect will. Father, if there's anybody here today who has yet to come to Christ, God, as we're going to talk about service today, we can never serve you until we first are saved by you. So I pray, Father, for the one, the two, the ten, ever how many that are here today who have yet to repent and believe on Jesus, I pray today would be the day they would see their sin, they would see Christ crucified, and they would run to Christ for salvation. It's in his name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Grab your seat back again. So Eastwood wants to challenge you. I want to challenge you to go in service. And this morning, I want you to know three truths about serving. The first truth is this, is that every Christian is called to serve in the ministry. Every Christian is called to serve in the ministry. That is exactly what our text tells us.
Look at it. Verse 11. Verse 11, we see the leaders of the church here. The leaders of the church. And Jesus personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. These are the people. These are the people. Ephesians 4:11. These are the people that God has given to the church to establish the church and to lead the church. Now, of course, the apostles and prophets, they're not necessarily with us anymore in person, right? But they have an ongoing ministry. Even to this day, we have the apostles and prophets here with us. Those are the men of God from old, thousands of years ago, that God used to deliver to us the inerrant, infallible, sufficient word of God. And so their ministry is alive and well through the Bible, okay? But then in the flesh are evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are those who've been given the task of leading the church, right? Winning people to Christ, feeding or caring for God's people, and then discipling God's people. But I want you to notice something very important in verse 12. And this is probably not new to you. If you've been in the church very long at all, this is not new to you, what I'm about to say to you, right? But sometimes we know things and yet don't live them out. Amen? Sometimes we know things, but we don't live them out. All right, look at verse 12. Our text does not say that God gave these leaders to do the work of the ministry. It doesn't say that, right? Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people in the pews around the world that believe that God has set aside pastors to do the work. It's pastors' jobs to do the work. That's why we pay them. And sadly, there are men in the pulpit that believe that very same thing as well, right? They've become convinced that it is their job to do the work of the ministry. We've all heard of DIY, do-it-yourself projects when it comes to home renovation, all right? But many pastors are in DIY mode, right? If you want it done and done right, then do it yourselves. Many pastors find it very hard to delegate. And I want to say to you this morning, hi, my name is Ben Simpson, and I'm a recovering DIY pastor. Okay? I'm one of them, okay? I'm recovering, I'm repenting, I'm turning from it. I realize it. Because whether in the pew or in the pulpit, this kind of thinking misses God's best for us. That's not God's best for us. Again, our text does not say that God gave these leaders to do the work of the ministry. It says that God gave these leaders, look at verse 12, Ephesians 4:12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You see, the work of ministry is not just my job. The work of ministry is our job. My job is to equip you, to prepare you, to train you. And then together, we get to go out and to do the work of the ministry. You see, you and I are the saints that God through Paul is talking about there. We're the saints. There are as many saints according to the Bible as there are Christians. And in the same token, in the same breath, there are as many ministers as there are Christians, okay? Every Christian is called to serve in the ministry. There may be only a few of us that are called to be pastors, but all of us who are in Christ are called to be ministers. So going in service is not optional. It is your calling. It is your calling. So when it comes to serving in the ministry, I want you to understand four things about yourself. Four things about yourself that you need to understand when it comes to serving in the ministry. First is, I was created to serve. Say that with me. I was created to serve. Good job. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, you and I were created to serve. I especially love that word there in that verse that says workmanship. Workmanship. In my top five translations, And when I study and prepare, I always have five translations of the Bible open. And all those, in all five of those translations, it's translated different ways. It's translated as handiwork. It's translated as creation. It's translated as workmanship. But honestly, an accurate translation would be the word masterpiece. Masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see the word that's translated from the Greek there? It's the Greek word poema. Poema, which we get our English word what? What does that sound like? Poem. Poem, that's right. Now the word 2,000 years ago, poema, could refer to anything that's made. But it was basically referred to art, right? It was any kind of art, a statue, a song, a painting. And when God is an artisan, guess what? He only makes masterpieces. He only makes masterpieces. Therefore, a child of God is not just God's workmanship. He is God's masterpiece. She is God's work of art. He is the poet. We are the poem, right? He's the painter. We're the portrait. He's the potter. We are the clay. You see, the world has it backwards. The world says that you've got to work so that you can make something out of yourself. But God says, I've got to make something out of you so that you can work. A person is not a Christian because he serves. He serves because he is a Christian. I am created to serve. Secondly, I want you to know this. I was set free to serve. I was set free. Say it with me. I was set free to serve. Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Beloved, in other words, God set you free so that you could go in service. He took you from being a miserable, shackled slave to sin and saved you to be a happy, free slave to Christ. You were set free to serve. So I say to you this morning, don't waste your freedom. Use it to the utmost to serve Jesus. Third, I want you to understand about yourself that I was gifted to serve. I was gifted to serve. Come on, let's say it together. I was gifted to serve. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 makes this clear. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now we're going to talk about some examples here in just a little bit, okay, of what these spiritual gifts are. But now let it just suffice to say that God has not left you to your own resources. He's gifted you. He's endowed you supernaturally with power from above to do what he's called you to do. God never calls us to do something without empowering us to do it, which is the work of ministry. And finally, I want you to know about yourself. I was placed in a body to serve. Humor me one more time. Come on, church. I was placed in a body to serve. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body's one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now, the Bible pictures a human body with all of its members or all of its parts, okay? Our body has a head, it has arms, it has hands, it has a torso, it has legs, it has feet. God says that you and I are like each member individually of that physical body as a whole. And every part of your body has been placed there for a purpose. It has a function. And so it is with Christ's body, right? You have been placed by God in this body to serve. So it's important for you to understand what part you are, what part you play. How many of you guys have ever seen a pit crew do a pit stop? Any racing fans out there? Any racing fans? All right, good. So you've probably seen this before. I want you to check out this video. It's comparing IndyCar pit stops from 1950 to today. It's pretty remarkable. Let's check this out.
But Holland comes in for a pit stop. Time to refuel and change tires. Lou Moore himself changes the tires. Only four crew members, including the driver, are allowed to work on the car. It's a tense time. Holland stays in his seat, anxious to get away. Let's watch.
I know you're like, hurry up, come on. There's a race going. You hear all those cars passing by? Hurry it up.
The tires are changed at last. A crewman polishes the windshield as Holland moves away just 67 seconds after he stopped.
Now check this out. Notice the crew. Notice how they're ready. They know what they're about to do. They know their job. And they are excited. It almost looks like someone were in a football stance, ready to go. Under 3 seconds, the guy barely stopped. He barely stopped. Guys, that picture right there is a picture of what the church is like when just a few people try to do the work of the ministry as compared to people when there's a large group of us. And we know what we're doing, and we're passionate about what we're doing, right? When the church is carried out by a small handful, progress is slow. It's sometimes awkward. But when every member knows and fills his or her role, the difference can be amazing to behold. You were placed in the body to serve. God has a part for you to play. And I pray that you would play it. I pray you would know those things. So, beloved, every Christian is called to serve in the ministry. That's the first part I want you to know. But second, this morning, I want you to know that every Christian should discover their unique place to shine. Every Christian should discover their unique place to shine. Now, so Eastwood is a unique church. Therefore, God has given us a unique ministry. But this mission is not carried out by clones, right? The people of the church are unique in and of themselves, right? That carry out this ministry. God has made every one of us unique, and he wants to leverage that in you as you go in service. And so to help you discover your place to shine, we're calling it, okay? Here at Eastwood, we like to use the acronym PLACE, P-L-A-C-E. Each letter represents an area of your life that you bring to the table, and when put together, makes you special, makes you unique. So let's walk through these so that you know this in your heart and in your mind. The P stands for personality discovery. Personality discovery. Your personality, your emotional, intellectual characteristics make you you. No two personalities here today are alike, okay? You are unique. Maybe you've taken the Myers-Briggs test. How many of you guys have taken the Myers-Briggs? Okay? That could help you understand your personality. How many of you guys have taken the DISC assessment? That's another tool that you can use to try to discover your personality and understand who you are, who God has made you to be. L in place stands for learning spiritual gifts. Learning spiritual gifts. And in this circle here, spiritual gifts are those abilities that God gives you when you are born again as a Christian, right? You get them when you're born again, okay? Maybe these gifts were never there before, or God basically intensifies a natural gift that you already have. But if this happens, he basically takes that gift and he redirects it into the service of God. Now, the Bible gives us several examples of spiritual gifts. Let's look at just a few passages so you can get them in your mind. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8, the Bible says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So that's one passage. You can see different examples of spiritual gifts there. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another variation or various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. A lot of examples there, okay? Some of them miraculous gifts that primarily accompanied the apostles, particularly the speaking in tongues and the interpretation of the tongues there in that passage, or the gift of prophecy in that passage there. But nevertheless, these are gifts. God can do anything, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. Here are a few more examples. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. More examples there. One more set for you here, Ephesians 4:11, which is our text today. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And so I say to you this morning, every single one of you, if you are a Christian, you have been given at least one spiritual gift from God, and you need to discover those. You need to know what those are. How do you discover your spiritual gifts? Four ways to help you discover your spiritual gifts. First is the internal witness, right? In other words, you believe that you have this gifting. You have this sense that God has gifted you in this way. So that's the internal witness. Second is the external witness. In other words, what do people who know you think about your gifting? Now, let's just be honest. There are times when we don't think we're gifted in an area, and everybody around us knows that dude or that gal is gifted in that area. For whatever reason, we're blind to it. But the opposite's true as well. There are times that we think we're really gifted in an area, and everyone around us, it's clear to everybody else. We don't have a clue, right? We have no business at all doing what we think we're gifted in doing. You don't believe me? Just go watch some of the opening audition shows from The American Idol, right? Remember that show? Right? I mean, all those people who think they can sing and they can't carry a tune in a bucket and they have no idea. And they're so upset when the external witness, the judges say, sorry, sweetheart, you ain't going to Hollywood, all right? But listen, you can get out there. There are lots of ways for you to do that, right? To have people to help you to determine. In fact, I often say this. I'm going to talk about a spiritual gift assessment here in a moment. But I often say it's good for you to take a spiritual gift assessment, but if you really want to get a better idea of what your spiritual gifting is, you need to let two people who know you well take that test for you. So we have your internal witness, and then you have two people with that external witness there looking at that. The third way that you kind of discover your spiritual gifts is through just serving, man. Get in there and do it. Just find a place that needs serving and do it. Get out there and get some experience. Get your hands dirty, so to speak, and see where the Lord blesses. And then finally is through spiritual gift assessments, all right? Now, these are helpful. They're not foolproof, okay? They are not the Word of God, but they will help you kind of get an idea of where you're at. And there is a great online assessment that adds everything up for you. Write this URL down if you'd like to go take this. It's called Spiritual Gifts, G-I-F-T-S, giftstest.com. Right? Really? They didn't get too creative, right? SpiritualGiftsTest.com. There's an adult one. There's also a youth one that you can choose from. I took it the other day. It said that my primary gifts are teaching, knowledge, and leadership. And I know some of you are questioning those results, but nevertheless, you know, after I took it, I wiped the sweat off my brow. Good deal. All right. But go check it out, guys. It really is a good sight to give you an idea of what your spiritual gifts are. The A stands for abilities, awareness, and place. Abilities, awareness. If spiritual gifts are those abilities that God gives us when we're born again, then these abilities that we're talking about here are gifts and talents that God gives you when you are born the first time, right? When you're physically born. It's in your DNA, or it's in your culture, or it's in your family. You guys are talented out here, okay? You have the ability to build stuff. You have the ability to cook. You have the ability to draw or play an instrument or make people laugh. You're great at narrating things. You just have that voice that people can listen to. You have the ability to throw a curveball. You can run really fast. Maybe you were blessed with brains. Or maybe you were blessed with good looks. All right? But we could go on and on. And so as you just think about that, what do you seem to be naturally gifted to do? And that doesn't mean that you haven't worked to hone that skill, to make it better. But it means that its origin seemed to lie in what you were born with. It just seems to kind of come naturally to you. I want to say to you that God wants to use those abilities to impact people, right? He wants to use them in His service. C in place. PLAC stands for connecting passion with ministry. Connecting passion with ministry. In other words, what gets you all jazzed up? Right? What do you get excited about? What moves you? Is it athletics? Is it music? Is it people who struggle with addiction? Is it people in poverty? Is it people who are hungry? Back at my last church, there was this one family in particular, man, they were just moved. Their heart was so tender and broken toward people who are hungry. So much so that one of the little four-year-old daughter at the time, back in the 90s, or maybe it was the early 2000s, yeah, I guess it was back in the 90s at that point, back in the 90s, saw this commercial, this infomercial for children who are hungry, right? Feed the hungry or something like that. And she was so broken by that. She was so burdened. She was so passionate about that she began every Sunday to go forward at this little church and began to pray for hungry people. She was so persistent. She was so passionate about it as a four-year-old that it eventually spilled over into the church. And the church said, we've got to do something about this. I mean, she's so passionate about it. She's opened our eyes to the need for this. And so they began as a church every month to take up an offering to send to the Southern Baptist World Hunger Fund. And they've done that ever since then, right? This girl is now in her 20s. And West Main Baptist Church is still taking up the Brooke Hunger Fund, and sending it off because that little four-year-old girl was passionate about something. It broke her heart. It jazzed her up. She got excited about helping people who were hungry. What's that for you? What's that for you? There's something in your life that you are really excited about, and God wants to take that, and He wants to galvanize and use it for ministry. Finally, the E. The E stands for experiences in life. Experiences in life. Your life is full of experiences that have made you who you are today. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad, right? How many would say that you have had good experiences that have made you who you are today? Good experiences out here that have made you who you are today. Great. How many of you guys would say that you have had bad experiences that have made you who you are today? Guys, listen, God wants to take all of those and use them to serve others. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Listen to what it says. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. So that, here it is, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In other words, God takes us through things, good and bad. In this situation, bad, right? But He takes us through things that we might serve others through those experiences. Now, when we look at these circles here, you see five circles. personality, spiritual gifts, abilities, passions, and experiences. We want you to find your unique place to shine. And this is really neat. When you put together a Venn diagram of circles, of five circles like this, I want you to notice what shape is in the middle of that Venn diagram. What shape is that? A star. A star. Guys, listen to me. This is so important. That middle right there, that is your sweet spot. That's where, when you take everything that you are, that's the place where you shine like a star. When people find this unique place to shine, they will rock that place of service, right? They will be a rock star in that ministry. It won't even feel like work to them, right? And that place needs to be your primary place of service. If you have not found your unique place to shine, you need to. You've got to work to find that. God wants to use you. But let me just say this. I don't want to go too far down that road to say, you've got that unique place to serve, and if you're not serving in that spot, you're missing out. No, here, you also need a secondary place of service. All right, and here it is. It's not necessarily that place that you have been perfectly shaped for. It is that place when you look around and you say, man, that needs to be done. You know what I'm talking about? Look around for your secondary place of service. And there are holes all around Eastwood that need to be filled. And until God sends someone who is perfectly shaped to do that ministry, somebody's got to step up and do it. And it might as well be you. It might as well be you. So every Christian is called to serve in the ministry. Every Christian should discover their unique place to shine. But finally this morning, I want you to know that every Christian should go in service. So to wrap up this morning, I want to just list some opportunities here at Eastwood that you have to serve, okay? Right now, you may already be in a place of service, all right? And that's great if you are. But you know what? You might say, where I'm serving, I don't think that's my unique place to shine. I'm doing that right now because no one else will do it, and I'm willing to do it, okay? Praise God for you. Keep doing it until we find somebody else, okay? But nevertheless, we want you to understand that there are lots of places to serve here at Eastwood. Let's think about it in this way. First, we want to talk about opportunities inside of Eastwood. Inside of Eastwood. And so, in other words, these things happen inside these four walls, okay? First is the first impressions team here at Eastwood. These are the folks that are sort of the greeter ministries of Eastwood, right? This is the quickest and easiest place to be plugged in. These are the people that you see smiling, holding doors, passing out bulletins, all this stuff that are very helpful to you every Sunday. They are door greeters, they're guest info, they're cafe volunteers, they're worship greeters, they're connection catalysts. And that's kind of a big word for a person whose job every Sunday is to go around and make sure that new people feel welcome here at Eastwood. Did y'all know we had somebody that does that every Sunday? Or we try to have someone every Sunday to do that, all right? And but then finally, in the first impressions, is the security job. And again, hopefully you don't see the security guys, all right? But they're there, and they're watching, all right? So. But next is the children's ministry. The children's ministry. There are lots of opportunities to serve in the children's ministry. That's birth to sixth grade here at Eastwood. All right, you can serve at the pre-K desk, helping people check their children in. There's children Bible fellowship teachers. There's ministry to the preschool during the worship gathering, which is going on right now back in the children's area. There's Team Kid on Wednesday night. They need teachers. They need recreation folks. And then there are special events like VBS or camp or holiday events. Children's ministry, guys, you say, you know what? Preacher, I don't know if I'm called to children's ministry. I feel like God has called me to be an evangelist. Well, amen, praise God, but I want you to understand that the largest mission field that we have here in the church is right back there in that nursery, right? Right back there in our children's department, that those children would come to know Christ. So yeah, let's go highways, byways, hedges, and all that good stuff too. But we're going to serve here and share the gospel here as well. We also have youth ministries here. Pastor Will with all of that in the middle school and high school. Again, Bible fellowship teachers, D group leaders, D group host homes, special events. Hopefully, as I'm saying these, maybe you're writing down, if you're not serving somewhere, an idea that sounds good to you. There's adult small groups. You can teach adult Bible fellowship. We talked last week about these new community groups that we pray will be launching out of Eastwood. So you may want to teach a community group, or you may want to be a host home for a community group. There are worship ministries. You could be on the praise team. You could do the tech back there, the audio and video. Pastor Will and I have talked about having a team of people that help us design the platform once a quarter or something like that to kind of bring up the worship experience, kind of like we did at Christmas. And then there's also a setup team, people who move chairs and all that good stuff. And listen, guys, there are platform jobs, and there are backstage jobs. And some of you like backstage, and that's great. We need backstage, behind-the-scenes people. Also in Eastwood, there's the office of deacon. If you are a man that meets the qualifications of deacon, every year we bring on new men. We pray to bring on new men who can serve our widows and our orphans in our church. And then finally, I want to talk to you here in terms of inside of Eastwood. I want to share with you just a couple of teams that I pray will be developed. Because I understand, you said, well, Ben, you said if I don't greet, sing, teach, there's not really anything for me to do. Well, great, we got stuff here, all right? Three teams that I hope to see developed inside of Eastwood. One is a hospitality team. Miss Deborah's actually already heading this up. She's already taking the bull by the horns, jumping in on that. But we need a group of people when we do fellowships or have events. We have people who are gifted in this area to make it nice and make people feel welcome and provide all the good things that we need for that. So that's a team that we hope people will get a part of. Also, secondly, a biblical counseling team. I would love to see a team of people raised up here who are equipped to help people with their problems, to give biblical answers to people's problems, to life's problems, okay? Life's challenges. So maybe that just that resonates with your heart. Phil and Brenda Guest and my wife Christy are already moving down that road as part of this team, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in that, and maybe you're interested in that as well. But finally, as I think about inside of Eastwood, I have a heart's desire to see a team of people who would say, I want to be a mentor to new Christians, a new Christian mentoring team. In other words, when someone comes to Christ, whether they be a child or whether they be an adult, we are able to hook them up with someone to kind of help them grow. And yeah, that happens, you know, drip by drip through Bible fellowship, and that happens drip by drip through the preaching, but we want to fast track that a person might be discipled. And then don't forget also inside of Eastwood, we do have our prayer partner ministry where you can serve as intercessory prayer warriors every Sunday morning. So those are the opportunities inside of Eastwood. Did anything as I was listing those off, did any of those say like, ding, 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 that's me. I need to be in there. I need to be doing something in that area. Let's talk just briefly to wrap up this morning about opportunities outside of Eastwood. Again, I want to start with two teams that I want to see developed here at Eastwood South Campus. The first team is something that I'm calling the Community Impact Team. I want a group of dreamers to come and gather with me to plan events and things that we can do outside of these walls to impact our community for Christ, all right? I don't have all the details on that. Again, it's just a dream. But if that makes you excited, then I pray that you would look into that as we begin to roll that out. Secondly, is an evangelism team. One of the gifts in the spiritual gifts assessment is the gift of evangelism. And there are men and women who are right here who have been gifted to share Jesus like crazy. God has gifted you to do that. And we want to give you the opportunity. We want to equip you and give you the opportunity and say, go get them, boys and girls. Go after them. Win them to Jesus. And then finally, as we think about right here in the area, our community partners. This next Sunday night at the One Church celebration, I'm going to begin to roll out to you Eastwood's 2018 Year of Blessing. And part of that Year of Blessing is community partners. We at Eastwood have recognized four partners that we're going to encourage people to be a part of in our community. These are organizations who are already doing the work of the ministry, and we're going to encourage people to plug in with them. The four are this: that's Hope House, Curbside Ministries, Habitat for Humanity, and the Foundry. Those are the four ministries that we're going to encourage people from Eastwood to be a part of over the next year. And then finally, around the world are missions. Eastwood has taken a mission trip all year round, right? There's trips to Canada, trips to Asia, trips to Europe, trips to Central and South America, trips to Africa. There are opportunities for you to go to the ends of the earth outside of Eastwood. The question is not, should I go in service? The question, Eastwood, is this: am I going in service? God wants you to move and to minister, to do the work of the ministry. So here's my final prayer. Let's go impact our world for Jesus. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.